There's no single approach to jazz drumming that works in every context. Your job is to bring the rhythm to life, whatever the style and whatever the tempo, but it's a very different job in a piano trio setting from what's required of the big band drummer. It's one of Jeff Hamilton's great strengths that he's at home in both environments, able to support a trio without overpowering it, and capable of providing enough muscle to make his Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra into the most swinging unit of its kind in jazz today. We're lucky to have him in town for a trio performance tonight, even luckier to have him with us in our studio. Good morning, Jeff, and thanks for coming.
Good morning, Chris. Nice to be here.
You know, as you sit behind your drum kit, you've got the capability of making a little whisper quiet sound with your brushes, or you can go all the way to full on thunderous, you know, going around the tom toms and making an immense kind of noise. So that's a wide range of choices to have at any given time.
Yes, and can be dangerous in the wrong hands.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Not for the unwary to deal with.
True.
Right?
Yeah. True.
But that's where taste comes in, and it's. Am I correct in saying that thinking in terms of two other guys is a very different thing than when you're with your big band?
Yeah, there are a lot of different elements to that. You're first of all with three people on the bandstand, you're exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So in a big band with 16 to in our Clayton Hamilton 19 pieces, there are places if you choose, which I don't do, but there are places that a drummer can hide
mm-hmm.
in a big band, and in a trio you're fully exposed all the time. You're one of three people, and especially with my trio, it's three equal parts. It's not a piano player
right.
with a bassist and a drummer sweeping up after the piano player, which a lot of trios do. It's mm-hmm. all about the piano player,
and nobody's being backed up.
Right, we're all present all the time, and mm-hmm. so it's a little different than most trios. So you're asked to express yourself, what kind of day you've had, your personality that you can bring to the music in both settings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the similarities is from Mel Lewis. That he shared with me. He was a dear friend and a mentor. And he said, just whoever you're playing with, no matter the size of the ensemble, make sure that you're thinking like being an oversized stuffed sofa that the band can sit on.
That's
you
great.
Want them comfortable to
yeah,
play. You
yeah.
don't want them nervous and
uh-huh.
crazed. You know, you
uh-huh.
want them comfortable so they can play the best they can. So in either setting, you want to try to do the best to make everyone sound as good as they possibly can by being as relaxed as they can.
Well, you know, I sometimes think of the drummer's role as equivalent to or akin to that of the catcher on a baseball team. You
mm-hmm.
know, because they always say the catcher is the most important player because he's the only one who can see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
that thing of pulling it all together from the drum chair. Do you feel that as part of your role?
Yeah, I do. And being a big baseball fan in my youth, I think that is a lot more so than a quarterback. You know, in football,
yes.
I think the catcher is a good comparison. You see the whole game. You have to be aware of everybody in the band. Mel Lewis, again, if you ever saw him play, he would look to his right to get the piano player and bass player involved.
Mm-hmm.
He'd look to his left to get the baritone saxophone player. He'd have the whole range of motion
right.
Under his awareness scope.
And I did see him perform a number of times. He's one of the great big band drummers mm-hmm. of all time. And there was that sense of cohesion coming from the rhythm section where it wasn't as if really he had Richard Davis on bass
mm-hmm.
when I heard him. And the sound, and I believe it was Horace Parlin, but the sound of that rhythm section was as if the three were a single instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the cohesiveness that you strive for. Yeah,
yeah, it was interesting in that it's sort of like a family
mm-hmm.
when you're playing. There's not one designated person to do one thing. It's if it's of high quality music that you're sharing your personalities with. For example, with Richard Davis, he could explore and go off wherever he wanted to and rhythmically or harmonically and just sort of do what he did. And whether it was Horace or Hank Jones or Roland Hanna,
mm-hmm.
they were asked to do whatever they do, and Mel again was the sofa,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to sort of relax with. So they all sort of played within that rhythm section to make each other sound great. That's again, there's that element that comes to the
forefront. And the players you describe were actually playing very very free in
mm-hmm.
that context. Richard Davis would go all over the place
mm-hmm.
on the bass,
mm-hmm.
and somehow it was made to work.
Well, somebody had to stay at home. And that was Mel Lewis.
And they
love playing together. I played with Richard Davis once, and I did the same thing with him. Instead of everybody going crazy, I stayed at home.
Mm-hmm. So while he's on his flights of invention, you just try to be cool and keep the time.
Yeah, and enjoy what he's doing.
Yeah. So that requires a certain amount of maybe kind of self-effacement in that role, where it's the music rather than you that's at the fore.
Yeah, it's always serving the music is the first thought that comes to mind. I think a lot of young drummers who are brought up with rudimental drumming and drum corps type technique, they get caught up in the chops and what they can display instead of serving the music and playing. To make everyone else sound as good as they can. And once you learn that, you enjoy playing music so much better. But don't forget, there are some drummers who are never going to be musicians.
Yeah.
You know, there are drummers who own drum sets and want to display their technique. But I prefer to be thought of as a drummer, or a musician who happens to own a set of drums.
Well, that is an important distinction, and I could certainly think of times over the years playing music when you felt that the drummer behind you was kind of waiting for his moment to stick a roll in, right? Where, you know, it's kind of like you feel this tension in the back of your neck, like as we come to the chorus, it's like, I just know he's going to go, blah, 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 you know. Am I right? I
mean, yeah, that happens. But it also happens with a lot of other musicians, instruments. It's not just the drummers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the most noticeable, probably. Yeah.
But what you're getting at, in a sense, is that saying that by serving the music and keeping the music at the fore, playing something that makes the music sound good, in a sense, by doing that, you're serving yourself. If you want to do a great job as a musician, make the music sound good, and then by inference, you sound good.
Yeah,
right?
It's sort of like you set your standards for what needs to be done, and not for ego reasons, but just for, if we're happy in life, you know, we try to do what we're going to do to make ourselves happy in the right sense of the word. So I think this is just another part of that, where you do set the standards, where you have to meet your standards every night for you to be satisfied with what's going on musically, and keeping everyone else's standards in mind while you're doing that.
But, you know, also, Jeff, you made me think of something, which is, if you're happy in life, you don't have all that much to prove.
Right.
So, in a way, your whole sort of sense of your being informs your music, in the sense of, like, I don't have to jump out here and be perceived as a great drummer.
Right.
I can just do the job that I'm here to do, right?
Right. I prefer to look at playing music as offering my beat and my music to everyone in the band. I'm over that. But in high school, in college, you know, they're telling you to play rim shots and force the band to swing and, you know, go upside their head with a 2x4, and that's not what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm strong with my beat, and I'm confident about where it is, and I offer it to everyone in the band.
So there it is if you want to
there
take advantage
of it. There it is if you want to come on in, and then you offer it to the audience. And if they want to come in, as they just did on the Japanese tour, clapping on our grooves that they liked, on 2 and 4, very hip, you know.
That's you can't ask for more.
Right.
Jeff, thanks very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Good
I enjoyed
to have
it.
You.
All right, Chris.
Jeff Hamilton, drummer, will perform tonight with Bruce Hamada on bass and Temir Hindleman on piano at Studio 909 in Honolulu. And you can learn more at our HPR2.org website.